Morning. The past 2 weeks with this Hello campaign, the only thing I could think of is Adele in my head. Hello, it's me. I'm not going to bore you with my or hurt your ears with my lack of musical ability, but that is first thing that comes to mind when doing this Hello campaign. Hey, my name is Michael Trippe. I serve here as the campus pastor, and just excited that you're here. Excited whether you're new with us, whether you've been coming for a long time. Hey, it's beautiful when we as the church can gather together as a people. Anytime we can is a blessing. And so we're just excited to, I'm excited to have you here and so we can worship God. And our heartbeat, as Max mentioned, is to be and make disciples for the glory of God. And so it's we want to sing about this Jesus. We want to teach what his word says about him and make him known in this community where he's placed us. And so that's the heartbeat of who we are as a people. And so we are in week two of a new series called 180, moving from repentance to worship. And it's all in preparation as we lead up to the cross that is Good Friday and as we lead up to Easter, which is the resurrection of Jesus from the dead so we can have life. And so we've been looking at last week this idea of repenting from the here and now kingdoms that we build. And so this week we'll look at talking about conforming to the world. But before I do, any of you on social media, Instagram, you get hit with all these random ads that hit a little too close to home when you scroll on social media. For me, over the past month and a half, I've been training for a half marathon, and I can talk about it around my phone, and then on Instagram, innately, it always pulls up a advertisement for Brooks shoes that I'm like, I never asked for. Or as I've talked to my Alexa, my wife, about, I was like, in this process, I've been talking, not searching, talking to her about like wanting to lose some weight, and all of a sudden, on Instagram, it shows me a picture of, hey, here's extra slim-fitting shirts that will go around your dad bod, won't heal you, but it would go around it. And so these things come up on my social media feed. And I'm a little put off by that, but I'll accept it. But this is what happens with social media and online. I'm a product of the 90s and the early 2000s, so I have a Yahoo email address still. And so it is my search engine of choice. And inevitably, whenever I'm searching on there, the algorithm works where you put in something search-wise. And so I like, this is going to sound weird, but my therapy of sorts is gardening. You wouldn't think that necessarily, but I like it. And so when I was searching this week, it pulled up things that I need for gardening, $450 worth of gardening tools I never knew I needed, I apparently needed. But it's constantly conforming me towards my choices, my preferences, my searches, and that's the point of advertising, is it not? To get you to draw in, to buy the things you don't really need, to eventually suck you in, and that's the point. It's to conform you to something you didn't know you need that you now need, and we are all a part of that. You might have the own things you search for or TikTok videos that you watch that are constantly catering towards your needs, and we are moldable as people. And the same thing happens with our hearts day in, day out. We are constantly, if we aren't on guard, our hearts are constantly being attacked with the things of the world that we can conform to so easily as a people. And this is an example, this constant pull, it's a constant luring of conforming to the things of this world. And if we aren't on guard, here's what's going to happen. We're going to drift from the true story that God has for us to a lot of false stories that we are writing that we merely sprinkle Jesus on and invite him into our false stories. And so here's what I want to do today. I want to look at a 180 of our hearts as we need to look at repenting from the conformity to the world in which we live to a life of worship in this area of our hearts as Jesus is calling us to. So we're going to be reading from Mark 8, verses 31 through 37. So if you would turn there in your Bibles with me. And so as I mentioned last week, we're going to be looking at points of Jesus' ministry as we make our way to the cross and ultimately the empty grave. And so Jesus is talking to his disciples in this exchange, and he says this, "And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly. And Peter took him aside, that being Jesus, and began to rebuke Jesus. But turning and seeing his disciples, Jesus rebuked Peter and said, 'Get behind me, Satan. For you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man.' And calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, 'If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul?'" So let's discuss the scene we're in here. Before Jesus speaks this into Peter, right before this, Peter has just said to Jesus, "You are the Messiah, you are the Christ." There's like this exclamation point with saying, "Hey, I do know who you truly are." And just like our hearts at times, right after that, Peter rebukes Jesus. After Jesus lays out what's going to happen to him, Peter rebukes Jesus when Jesus says this. So what's happening here? Well, in Peter's mind, in the mind of the disciples, here's the plan that Jesus had was this. Jesus the Messiah is going to come to free us out under the Roman oppression. He's going to change our status in society. We're no longer going to be slaves. We're going to be free. And we're going to run with him. And he's going to be alongside us. And Jesus dashes that hope. And then Peter steps in and rebukes him. And what does Jesus say to Peter? He looks at his disciples, who are also probably struggling with the same thing. And he says this, "Get behind me, Satan." Those are strong, strong words. He's basically saying, repent of what you're trusting in. You're trusting in your plan and where I fit into your plan, rather than trusting in me and my plan and you living in that. So what Jesus is saying to Peter is, your story is false and my story is true. Live within that. And one of the observations I want to put before us today is this. We must realize there is one true story and a whole bunch of false stories. We must realize that there is one true story and many false stories that we make up. And what do I mean when I say that? Well, in Jesus saying to Peter, there's the things of God's will for your life, God's plan of redemption, God's plan that is going to play out. And that's the true story that I want you to hold to, Peter. But there's these things of man, the things that we walk in every day, these narratives that we write, the things in this world that we so hold on to, that are the things of man that we try to fit Jesus into our scenario rather than being in his. And this is what he is saying. We must realize the true story and be on guard for the false stories and repent for us of them today. And isn't that the fight for our hearts? Isn't that the war between God's way and our way? And the allure of the world and the messages that the culture sends to us, it's constantly warring for our hearts. The schemes and brokenness are in place to take us from that which is true life found in God's way and into false living, thinking that will satisfy us. And I take the bait so easily to enter into false stories. And so what are the things of man that we conform to as a people, as a church often? And it's this. I want to put a few things before you. The world's values and the priorities. The world's values and priorities. And so some of them are materialism, pursuit of wealth, power, success, all at the expense of spiritual growth and obedience to God. And what do I mean when I say those things? Hey, the message of the world is, hey, bigger, better, more. Is it not? It's if I can advance myself, if I can gain more, if I can hustle harder, then I will arrive. Any of you fall for that if you're honest? It's a false way. I can be on my phone for hours. And here's what it's doing to me. It's making me see that my marriage needs to be better than it is. It's making me see that I need to have more influence than what where God has placed me today. And it constantly is taking my heart. Any of you fall in that boat? Where you align more with the values and the priorities of the world rather than what God values? And that's the false story that we try to say, hey, if we can advance more, then Jesus, you're good. But if we don't advance at the pace that we want to go, we're like, Jesus, what are you doing? We try to fit Jesus into our story instead of us fitting into his true story. What else? Social and cultural norms that contradict biblical principles such as morality, sexuality, relationships. The culture's idea is, hey, if it makes you feel good, do it. If it makes you feel good, do it. There's no consequence. And that is true with our sexuality, is it not? Like, hey, don't deny yourself. Feed it. You'll be better because of it. You know, the grace of God will cover it, so just give into it. That's why we play around the edges with sin and pornography, and we're like, hey, you know, the grace of God covers it, and we just fall back in. Or it's why, with regards to relationships, if we're with boyfriends, girlfriends, fiancés, outside of God's design for sexuality, we just so easily fall into it because we think that's what God wants us, and if we don't give into it, then God is not good enough. And we tend to conform to what the world and the culture says rather than allowing the Spirit of God to work in his way, in his design, in his good path. True story, false stories. From there, religious legalism and traditions. And what do I mean when I say that? Hey, you can be here and you can have your checklist of things that you're looking for in a church. Hey, he doesn't speak and teach the way I want. The worship band is not playing the music I like. It's too loud. It's too soft. You know, we have these preferences and checklists, and all the while we miss that we are called to be a people of God, but we have become a consumer-based church where we're just checking off lists and saying, oh, if that place doesn't have it, I'll go somewhere else. But that's not God's narrative and design. But we so easily fall to it because we're conforming to the world's definition of church rather than being informed by what the Bible says. There we go. There's many other things, but one of the last things too is this idea, fear of persecution, rejection, or any bit of suffering we might experience, right? We like the idea of being safe. We like the idea that we need to be healthy and do whatever we can to protect and against any harm for what we might experience, or not sharing the gospel with someone because we feel like our street cred is going to go down, we just inundate ourselves from any bit of persecution. But that's the false story that we have believed. The true story God says is, hey, heads up, there will be suffering, there will be tribulation, but hey, I'm with you. The true story but the false stories we try to bring Jesus into and said, make and we'll be okay on our own. It's these lies that we have been conformed to as a people. And so why do I share all of these aspects? It's to reveal our hearts in the areas that, if we aren't careful, draw us away from God's will for our lives, and we try to fit Jesus into those false stories. And so my question for you today is this. In what ways do we sometimes mirror Peter's misunderstanding by trying to fit God into our own preconceived notions and desires for our lives? Where are those areas of your heart today that you're more conformed to the world instead of living in the things of God that he has designed? And let me help you out to look for those things. If you were to take a look at your phone and the things you searched this week, you might find an area and a theme with regards to where your heart is this week. Or if there's things that you fear and they're dominating your mind, you might be conforming to the world's definition and trusting in God's goodness for where he's placed you and keeping you through. Or the areas of anger that spike up in your heart when they happen, that might be an area that you're conforming more to the world and the false story you're living in rather than God's good story. What are those areas? But the beauty of the gospel of this doesn't just stop there. It doesn't end with a false story. Jesus states next how he shows us the way to the true story, to that which is true life. And that's what I want to put on display for you next, this observation of this. The way to true life is to embrace the way of the cross. The way to true life is to embrace the way of the cross. After this exchange with Peter, when he says, get behind me, Satan, repent of what you're holding to. It's not God's will, it's your will. He says, he turns to the crowd and he says, if anyone would come after me, let him what? Deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. As we turn from our conformity to the things of the world towards him and his promises, we will get the life he has willed for us that is far greater for our souls than our own. But it only comes if we embrace the way of the cross. And how does he say that happens? First off, deny yourself. If I'm being honest, and I'm in the disciples' shoes in this moment, I'm saying that's dumb stuff, right? Deny myself? Jesus, I'm supposed to be following you. You know, like, I have you. What's the point in denying myself? I'm here with you. This doesn't make sense. How backwards is this guy? Because have you tried to deny yourself of something? You see, I go on these little spurts every year, probably 4 or 5 times a year, to stop drinking coffee, God's beautiful bean to the earth. People are like, what are you doing? But I do it 4 and 5 times a year because that seems to be the drug of my choice, right? And what happens inevitably every time I go off of coffee for the first 2 days? It is a horrible 2 days. I have headaches galore. I purposely have learned to give my wife a heads up that I am off coffee, because those 2 days, I am not the kindest of human beings at that point. But come day 3, here's what happens. I sleep far better and deeper off of coffee than I did on it. My sleep is better. There's more life in that. And the body is fueling itself, not with a caffeine hit, but with normal nutrition. And I am better because of it. I do go back as I have had my morning coffee. But the idea still holds the same. That denying myself in this small example brings me life. The Greek word literally means to disassociate with something or someone. And what Jesus is saying here is that true life is not found in the accumulation of stuff. It isn't found in the advancing of more. It's found in the denial of these false stories, the disassociation with submitting this false story and submitting to his true story. It's to say, I know that God's design of sexuality is far more beautiful than mine. So I will repent of my love of my own definition, my love of pornography, of compromising situations, and live in God's design no matter how long it takes, no matter if it takes me having to put my phone away or people to know that I struggle. It's to deny yourself, and in that you will find life. It's to look at the way I hunt and crave for approval from others and repent of this, to live in the identity God has called you to be in. It's to put to death the unforgiveness that has ravaged my soul and caused me to remain bitter because someone hurt me, and submit to a holy God who is far more in control to give justice to the situation than I am. It's to say, no matter the cost of denying myself, if it takes all I have in life, it's worth it because Jesus is worth it. And here's the gift of denying the world and depending on God. It's in 2 verses 15 through 17. It says this. It'll be up on the screen for you. It says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And listen up. The world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. The false stories of accumulating stuff, of advancing yourself, of making bigger, better, more, those things pass away. But as we deny ourselves and fall on our faces before a pure and holy God, he will lift us up and give us life. Because that is the true story. Denying yourself is one aspect of embracing the way of the cross. Secondly, is take up your cross. I have a background prior to this, I was an executive pastor for 5 years, and the prior 10 years I was in investments and insurance. I know it sounds life-giving, but insurance exists in a world. You have car insurance, you have home insurance. If you have a home, over the past week and a half, you probably have had 9,000 people coming to your house trying to get you new roofs because of the softball-sized hail that has just pounded us last week. Insurance exists to protect you from loss, to protect you from any bit of hurting or suffering. But the issue with this, as it relates to our souls, is that we constantly try to live in self-preservation of our souls, to outrun trials, outrun tragedy and suffering within our stories, so as to outrun any type of pain. We live with allegiance that our way of living is better than allegiance to the one who designed it. And we submit ourselves to knowing how to navigate our stories better than submitting to God in our stories. And how is that working out for us, if I'm being honest? Is the world more peaceful, loving, kind, and accepting today than yesterday? No. It's more chaotic. It's more anxious. It's more on edge. And what Jesus is saying is, repent and live within the story I give you. Give your allegiance to me through whatever may come in your story. Don't try to live in self-protection, which will only lead to a loss of your life. It will only lead to anxiousness and take your gaze, but give more and more of your depths of your being over in allegiance to me, and I will uphold you. I will strengthen you when things get hard. I will be the one who is the true story for which your soul is found, and I will be with you. In John 16:33, as Jesus is preparing the disciples for his soon-to-be death on the cross, he says to his disciples, hey, it's going to get hard. It's going to get hard for you, and you're going to be scattered. But here is a message he gave to the disciples, and he's giving to us today. In John 16:33, he says this, and many of us have heard it. I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. In the world, you'll have issues with your marriage. In the world, you have issues with finding God's purpose for your life. In the world, you will have things that constantly take and take and take from you. But what does he say? Take heart. The true story that you know, I have overcome the world. Is your allegiance to you or is your allegiance to him? Take up your cross is the second aspect of embracing the way of the cross. The last is a simple one. It's this. He says, follow me. Follow me. Who are you following today, if you're being honest? If you took a snapshot of where you find yourself today, or maybe what you did last night, who would it say that you are following? Are you following your story and trying to fit God in? Or are you following God and trusting in his true story? You see, church, every day of my life, I am in a fight. I am in a war of false stories that I can save myself. I can right myself. I can gloss myself up. I can make it without God. I need this thing. I need to make this move. And that's the world's message. Preserve you, advance you, follow yourself, make yourself happy. And that is utter sin that destroys you. And that is the message of the world that we so easily conform to. But what Jesus says, what the gospel says, is what he's saying to us today is that you want the true story that is my will for your life, let it all go. Deny yourself. Give your story to me. Rest in my work to save you rather than your way of trying to save yourself. Trust in my death on the cross for your sin. Trust in my resurrection from sin, death, and the grave, and you will have true freedom in life. Repent of your false stories and rest in my true story that I have for you. The question I have for you today is, who are you following? Who are you following? And here's the outcome of that choice. It's this. You will either save your life by losing it, or you will lose your life trying to save it. There's two outcomes here. You will either save your life by losing it, or you will lose your life trying to save it. We can respond like Peter and rebuke Jesus, saying, no, Jesus, you're fitting into my story. I'm not fitting into yours. But this is why I love the gospel. This is why I love Jesus. Jesus doesn't rebuke Peter and leave him there. If you know anything about Peter's life, here's what happens later on in the story. Right before Jesus is given over to the authorities, Jesus says to Peter, hey, you're going to deny me three times. And Peter's like, no, I'm not. I'm not going to deny you. I'm with you. You're the Christ. And what happens after Jesus is arrested? He denies him. He denies him because he's scared of what the world is going to think of him following this Jesus. And why I love Jesus all the more is after Jesus dies on the cross, totally abandoned, totally broken, totally surrendered on the cross. When Jesus rises from the dead, what does he do? He goes and makes himself aware that he's alive to the seven disciples. And then John 21, he pulls Peter aside. And he says this question to Peter, and he says, hey, Peter, do you love me more than all of these? What he's asking Peter in that moment is this. He's asking, hey, do you love me? Not in greater measure than these disciples. Do you love me more than the world and all it has? And what does Peter say? You know I do, Lord. He says, feed my sheep. And then Jesus asks it again. He says, Peter, do you love me? And he's like, you know I do, God. You know I do, Jesus. And he says, tend my sheep. And then Jesus asks in his most loving way one more time, hey, but Peter, do you love me? And it says, Peter was grieved in his soul, because at that point he realized that he had been loving the false story instead of the true Christ. And he realizes in that moment that the true story is Jesus. And he says, "You know I love you." And what Jesus says to him is, "Your story is going to be hard. Your story is not going to look like every other story, because as you follow me, I have a far greater story, but it will not always be up and to the right." And we know what happened with Peter's life. But at the end of it all, what did Jesus say at that exchange? "Follow me." The beauty of this church is that as we repent of our false stories, we don't have a God that is just at a distance. We have a God that denied himself, took up his cross, which was our cross, took on our sin, death, and he perfectly followed the Father because we couldn't perfectly follow him. He has given us life because of his taking on our sin and overcoming death. And we can live in freedom in the true story now that he is freely given by God as a free gift for us. And we can become low because he became low. We can take up our cross because he's carrying it with us by his Holy Spirit in us. And we can follow him as we repent and believe the gospel. Church, this is the good news. Amen? You will either save your life by losing it, or you will lose your life trying to save it. My question for you is, what areas of your life are you conforming more to the world than to God's true story? Take inventory of those. And if you don't know Christ in here today, I challenge you to say, is your story working out for you better than this life of beauty that God has for you? Church, let's pray. God, I thank you. I thank you that in this room, many of us know your son, Jesus. That this wasn't a message that you just gave, that this was a message that you lived perfectly. You deserved glory, and you denied yourself of that glory. You deserved life and a rule and reign, and you gave that up because you loved us. That we didn't have to clean ourselves up to come to you or get it perfectly right, but you came to us to bridge a gap, a divide that our sin introduced. And you lovingly went to a cross, sacrificially took on the wrath of God, and took on our sin. And you not only died, but you rose again and beat death so we can have life. And the exchange of your payment for sin for our lives is a gift. And help us to repent of our own conforming to the world and false stories that we so easily believe, that so easily ensnare us. And let us be vigilant against sin in our lives and repent and believe your good news. And that you are alive again, advocating between us and the Father, and you love us with a ridiculous love. God, I pray that we are a people who repent and believe of conforming to this world and the false stories and live in the true story, which is the true will you have for our lives. And that many will come to know because you are doing a work that is special in us. And we can point to the one. We can point to the Savior that is Jesus. God, let us stand by clinging to you, the one who has overcome it all. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.